Chapter 37. By the time the group got to the residential area, smoke was drifting in. Jackson steered them into the large communal kitchen so they could find something to eat while she put on the extractor fans. These were nerve-wrackingly loud, but to Hicks's surprise, the air quality improved right away.
"It won't last," Jackson said in a low voice, "but for now, we'll be able to breathe without choking."
Hicks shrugged.
"For now, always beats never."
Jackson grinned at him wryly.
"You're a real glass-half-full kind of guy, aren't you? Didn't think Marines were like that."
"If the glass weren't half-full, they wouldn't send us out on rescue missions. It'd all just be wars and bug hunts. And anyway,"
Hicks chuckled as he opened a refrigerator cabinet and surveyed the contents,
"you're missing the point. The glass is refillable."
"Yeah? Refill this."
Jackson tossed him a cloth tote bag from the stash she'd found hanging on a hook and started handing out the others.
"Pack a lunch for later,"
she handed out a few more. Hicks frowned, unsure if it was a good idea to let the group carry more stuff. They were practically carrying Halliday as it was.
Fuck it, he thought. They could take whatever they wanted. And if they had to drop ballast later, well, that was later.
Right now, Hicks realized he was so ravenously hungry he could have eaten the entire contents of the delicatessen cabinet, wrappers and all. He pulled out a selection of sliced meats and cheeses and lined them up on the counter, then looked around for bread. Jackson tossed him a couple of sourdough rolls, obviously amused.
"You saw nothing," he said.
She gave him the okay sign as he opened a jar of large grain mustard. He made two pastrami sandwiches, wrapped one in a napkin and stuffed it into the largest pocket of his vest, then saw that Quill had been watching him.
"Never go hungry," he told them. "Blood sugar gets out of whack, your head explodes."
They held up the large bowl of potato salad they'd been eating with a serving spoon.
"I don't judge."
Hicks discovered the group had bypassed the dining room and gone into the lounge. He didn't blame them. The residents seemed to have dropped everything and bugged out. The odor of spoiling food combined with the smell of smoke made for lousy ambiance. On the other hand, there were no bloodstains, cocooned bodies, acid damage, or any of the other horrors they'd had to look at today. The aliens hadn't dropped by yet, but they'd be along shortly, which meant Hicks had to get the group moving again, soon. They weren't going to like that much, but they'd like meeting an alien even less. He went into the lounge and was glad to see that everyone had eaten something. His comment to Quill about blood sugar hadn't been a joke, especially for civilians who didn't have training to fall back on. Spence and Halliday were sitting together on a long, curved couch. Banana peels were piled up on a low coffee table in front of them. Halliday was hugging herself as she rocked back and forth slightly with her eyes closed. Spence was perched on the edge of the sofa, elbows on her knees and head drooping as if it were too heavy to hold up. She brightened when Hicks sat down beside her, smiled when she saw his sandwich. He tore it in two and offered her half, but she shook her head.
"You sure?" he asked. "I don't want you fainting when you need to save my ass."
Spence laughed a little.
"Nah, I'll be fine. I just ate half of Anchor Point's banana crop." "Did you know," she held up an unpeeled fruit, "when you suddenly get a terrible feeling of impending disaster, it's because your potassium is too low? All you have to do to make it go away is eat a banana. Two, if they're small."
"Yeah, I think I remember hearing that somewhere."
Hicks took another bite of his sandwich. No banana was this good.
"Unfortunately," Spence went on, "sometimes a feeling of impending doom is impending doom, and bananas can't save you. Bananas can't cure aliens."
Her gaze wandered to Rossetti, who was leaning against a cabinet housing an elaborate media system, including a holographic projector. He stared back at her with no expression as he dabbed at his mouth. His split lip had reopened.
Spence turned back to Hicks. "Funny story, and absolutely true, I swear."
She raised one hand, oath style.
"I won a contest for the great privilege of going through this. Well, a series of contests, actually. Most people can't tell just by looking at me that at 13 I was the number one student in biology in the entire state of Nebraska."
She stared past him into the middle distance.
"And I owe it all to monoclonal antibodies. They put me over the top. Without them, I'd be nothing."
In a world that made sense, Hicks thought, he
He'd have been chuckling at her wit and wondering if she'd ask him out, or if he should ask first. But the world didn't make sense. So he was listening closely and hoping she wouldn't lose her shit before they got to the lifeboats. Or before Anchor Point blew, depending on Bishop. Then I got into Cornell. Advanced placement, Spence went on, her voice somehow both bleak and matter-of-fact. In his peripheral vision, Hicks saw the rest of the group were actually listening and noted it as something that could be useful later. That was another contest. And then another one, just to be considered for a position on a space station. It wasn't easy getting out here. All of us who did, well, the ones like me anyway, were a whole generation who just wanted it that much. Rossetti let out a breath. Idealists. Most Marine officers didn't consider that a good thing, but the colonel hadn't made it sound like an insult. Spence laughed a little. Yeah, I guess so. We wanted to build new worlds and find better ways to live in them. And you know what? It actually could have turned out that way. For a minute there, I really thought it would. But now... She ran a hand through her thick, dark curls, digging her fingers in for a moment as if she were about to tear her hair out. I never thought it was going to be easy, but it sure wasn't supposed to be like this. She straightened up, turning to Halliday beside her as if she'd suddenly just remembered the other woman was there. Spence touched her shoulder, then put one arm around her and squeezed. Halliday didn't react except to stop rocking. One thing I'd really like to know, Spence turned to Rossetti, just as he was taking a pill. He washed it down with a swig from a water bottle and tucked a small vial into his back pocket. Why the hell did we have to bring you? She said. Rossetti didn't even blink. Funding. His tone was utterly unemotional, but he was gazing at Spence with a weary, knowing expression that said she wasn't the first thorny idealist he'd ever had in his side. Spence laughed again. Yeah, I guess. You buy it, you break it, right? That was enough thoughtful debate for now, Hicks thought as he stood up and crammed the rest of his sandwich into a vest pocket. Okay, break's over, time to shag it, people. He turned to Spence. Can you get her up and moving? He asked, jerking his chin at Halliday. Spence nodded as Talisa came to help her. Jackson showed him the route they'd be taking on her flexi and transferred it to his. Martinez herded them together and took point with Jackson navigating. Hicks brought up the rear to make sure nothing sneaked up on them and nobody went astray. He doubted Halliday would last much longer. Despite the break, she didn't look any better. But when he gave the order to move, she obeyed. If luck was with them, they might clear the residential section before her next crying jag kicked in. Much to Hicks's dismay, however, luck wasn't with them. Jackson had routed them a corridor that would exit onto the main thoroughfare. Except the corridor shown on the map no longer existed. The walls had been rearranged, and it was now a large open area. But at least they were headed in the right direction, Hicks thought, just before Halliday stopped short and wailed, "Oh, God!" Hicks barely managed not to grab her by the arm and tell her, with more profanity than necessary, to stop sniveling. Talisa put herself between him and Halliday while Spence tried to calm the woman down. "This is bad." Talisa looked at him over her shoulder. "We're in a crash." "Oh, Christ," Hicks pulled Jackson aside. "What the fuck, ops?" "The fuck is the residents reconfigured the space for their kids," Jackson said angrily, "and didn't get around to telling us about the new layout so we could update the map. If this weren't the alien apocalypse, I'd fine them a million different ways for negligence, zoning violations, and endangering minors by placing them in an uninspected enclosure." "Just go back to Martinez and keep navigating," Hicks said wearily. "If I meet any of the fuckers that did this, I'm going to kill them," Jackson promised and hurried back to Martinez. At least the exit was still where it was supposed to be. Just as they reached it, Hicks saw Halliday grab a rag doll off an empty shelf. Maybe it would help calm her, he thought. Probably not.